I'm Heidi Holton. Thanks for choosing this KAXE-KBXE conversation. We are member-supported radio, a National Public Radio affiliate in northern Minnesota. We need your support for our radio broadcasts, our online content, and our podcast. Go to KAXE.org, and thanks for listening. You're listening to The Morning Show on KAXE-KBXE. The Minnesota Legislature for 2019 begins tomorrow, Tuesday, January 8th. And joining us now in the KAXE studios in Grand Rapids is the representative from House District 5B. It's Sandy Lehman. Sandy, thanks for being with us today.
Well, thank you, Heidi. I'm happy to be here.
So you are heading into your second term, is that right?
That's correct, right.
Okay, and you went from in your first term, you were part of the majority,
yes.
You're a Republican. Then there's an election, and congratulations on winning
your seat
back. But things change a little bit.
Yes,
and we're getting to maybe some of the issues that you want to deal with during session, but I'd love to hear kind of the backstory on what it's like now as you get ready to go.
Sure. Well, and most people aren't aware. I mean, I wasn't really aware of the significance of being in the majority versus the minority until I got into the legislature. Even in the executive branch when I worked in the Pawlenty administration, I knew it was a tough change, but I didn't realize the upheaval involved. Because when you're in the majority, you chair the committees, and because you chair committees, you have more staff. And you have committee administrators, and you have more LAs per legislator and things like that. So when you move into the minority, you have to let a lot of staff go.
Wow.
And that was really tough because these people, they're the brains. We'll be the first to admit as legislators, these people are the brains of the outfit. I mean, these are the researchers and the issue experts that we rely on. And we get to know, and they're like family. So it's really hard to see them go. But then because the offices are configured to accommodate more staff on certain floors, everybody has to pick up and move. So if you go down, I was down in St. Paul last week, and it's chaos. People are in temporary offices and don't have their computer or don't have their phone set up because everyone literally has to move. So we all have different offices. Many of us have different staff. We all have different committee assignments, and none of us are chairing committees. When you're in the minority, what you have is committee leads. So you have people that maybe played a significant role in a certain committee in the past. Maybe they chaired the committee when we were in the majority. Then they become the lead. And what that means is when you're in committee, they kind of speak on behalf of the minority. And so you try and have a common message in each caucus. And so those leads play an important role, but not as significant a role as the committee chairs.
Okay. So who makes the decisions on, like, when you go back, will you be in the committees you were in during your last term?
No. It's all new. In fact, when the majority comes in, now it's the DFL that are in the majority, and there's a new Speaker of the House who actually has been elected by the DFL caucus, but hasn't been elected by the House as a whole. That'll happen on tomorrow.
Okay.
When we take the oath of office. But it's going to be Melissa Hortman.
Right.
And so she sits down with her lead folks, and they actually establish the committee structure. And so the committee structure has completely changed in the House. There's many more committees than there were in the past. The names have changed and so on. And then she establishes who will be on the committees. So we put in our request for what the committees we'd like to be on, but it's really up to the new leadership to assign. I'm on all new committees.
How does that feel? Is that exciting? Is that tough?
Well, actually, for me, it's exciting because there's hardly a committee I wouldn't want to be on. All the committees are important committees. And as a legislator, you really have to be covering all the issues. So I put in I think we were allowed to name seven, and I got assigned to every committee that was on my list. I'm on four.
Okay.
I didn't get legacy. I was vice chair of legacy last time. The legacy committee is smaller this time. Very few Republicans on there. So I didn't make that. But I am on capital investment. And I, you know, when I was in the majority, I was able to secure bonding money through capital investment for basically all the projects that I brought forward for this area. So that will be a good committee. And that committee also tours the state. So that will be really interesting to see what other communities are doing and what kind of requests they have. I'm on government operations, which I've never been on before, and I think that will be interesting to just get a feel for the internal workings of government operations. Then my number one request was they split economic development now in the House. So there's the overall Economic Development Committee, but then there's a special committee for Greater Minnesota Jobs and Economic Development, and I wanted to be on that, and I am. I wanted to be on higher ed, because I've worked over the years very closely with higher ed, with Itasca Community College, and they are, you know, they play such a leadership role, not only in education, but in economic development and in the community. And so I did get on higher ed. And so those are the four, capital investment, government operations, Greater Minnesota Jobs, and higher ed.
So it doesn't sound like whoever's in the majority is going to take a look at Representative Lehman's wish list and go, nope, we're not going to give her any of those. Like, they want to make it. There's no dirty pool in the differences
Thankfully not.
Okay.
No, I think everyone wants to have people that, you know, either have background in that issue area or certainly are interested in working on that issue area assigned to those committees.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Representative Sandy Lehman. Her district is 5B. She lives in Cohasset, and the legislative session begins tomorrow. I'm sort of curious about this, kind of a broader question, but what you think some of the issues are for District 5B and what you may be able to kind of bring up during this session.
Sure. Well, the issues, you know, when you campaign for office, you talk to a lot of people. And I talk to groups of people, and I talk to individual families at their doors. I'm outdoor knocking. And what I heard again and again and again was healthcare, again, it's not fixed completely. And people that are on the individual market are still in a bind. So healthcare certainly will be a continuing topic of discussion. And then the taxes. Locally here, people are paying higher and higher property taxes. So I want to make sure that we're not pushing costs down from the state to local governments and causing that problem to get worse.
Mm-hmm.
And I also want to help local governments control their costs and look at how they're doing business. And I've already had conversations with some of the local cities on what can we do to avoid these double-digit property tax increases that people, for instance, in the city of Grand Rapids are experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other issue in northern Minnesota is related to taxes, is that we are an area that has a lot of public land. We don't have a lot of property tax revenue. And so when I'm in St. Paul, I have to make it clear to people that we have to be cognizant of that. And sometimes that requires special payments, payment in lieu of taxes, LGA, other things that help local governments that don't have a rich property tax base. We all like to have our recreational property and public lands, but we also have to allow people to afford to live here.
Mm-hmm.
So I've become really conscious of being careful that we don't just arbitrarily increase the cost of government, because it's you and I that pay that cost of government, and we're willing to pay for the important things. We're willing to pay for to make sure that people are safe and secure and we have good roads and so on, but you know, the other things maybe are on a wish list and maybe not a needs list.
Mm-hmm. So what's the first week? You start on a Tuesday. What's the first week look like in the 2019?
Yeah, well, the first week is sort of light, actually. The Tuesday is, you know, oath of office day, and that's very ceremonial. People bring their families and their kids and their grandkids, and it's a lot
Congratulations. I saw you have a new grandchild, right?
I have a new granddaughter, my first granddaughter, born on Christmas Day. Thank you, Heidi. Kaya Jo Lehman. And she lives in St. Paul. So she might be there. I don't know. She's only, you know, a couple weeks old. But But it's very ceremonial. And then the next day, actually, we have something called the One Minnesota Retreat. And that's where legislators, it's a voluntary thing, but it's where the DFL and the Republicans come together at the University of Minnesota for a full day kind of seminar on what are the important issues and how we might approach those and really informing ourselves before we start working together. And so that's Wednesday. And then we start the committees after that. So Thursday is a day of committees. Now, Friday, until we get to the end of the session, Fridays are open days.
Okay.
And that is wonderful for us Greater Minnesota representatives because we all had home.
Mm-hmm.
And so, right up until May, we'll have Fridays open.
Okay. And I did want to ask, as you were explaining how your role as a legislator from outside of the Twin Cities is to remind people of, you know, you were talking about public lands
right.
and property taxes and local government aid. Sometimes I think when we're sitting here in Greater Minnesota, it feels like there's a huge tension at the legislature between, you know, urban and rural, and you can sometimes get on a high horse that they don't listen to rural okay. things. Is that, what's that actually like? Or
well, there is a tension.
Yeah.
There's no question that there is a tension, and we'll see how that, you know, I'm hoping that it isn't as significant as it was. We all have high hopes for the Tim Walz administration to come in. We hope that this governor, who is from Greater Minnesota, and has talked about One Minnesota, is really serious about that. I think his heart is there, and now we'll see how that plays out in real life.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, frankly, there's a lot of legislators that have lived out their lives in urban, and I think you might agree, Heidi, that until you've lived in rural, you don't really get it. I know I didn't. Until I moved here in my late 20s, and I didn't know how in the world people made a living because this was my recreation area. And I thought, this is wonderful living here, but how do you make a living? And then you realize that people sometimes have 2 to 3 jobs, and you know it's a different way of living. And so it's important that we really represent rural. And we have a voice, and I see myself. That's one of my important roles down there in St. Paul's, to make sure that we aren't overlooked. Whether it's funding for roads and bridges, whether it's talking about the continued need for broadband investment that we still don't have, everybody connected to high speed internet, a public lands issue that we just talked about, and how different initiatives affect rural communities maybe a little differently than they would in metro areas.
So for someone listening to us, whether you're their legislator or not, and they might, you know, something may come up in the legislature, they want to go down, they mm-hmm. want to talk to someone about it, they have strong feelings about it. Do you want to meet your voters? I mean, I know you're really busy, yeah. but how does that system
yeah.
sort of work?
I absolutely want to meet my voters. That is so helpful to me. And if people can't come down, I'm available by phone, I'm available by texts, I'm available by email. I do all of that. But the best thing to do is to contact my office. The highest priority that our legislative assistants have is to schedule. So they know our schedules and they know that my priority is my constituents.
Mm-hmm.
So if a constituent is coming down on a day that I'm in the middle of a committee meeting, my LA will call me out of the committee meeting
okay.
because I want to meet with that constituent.
You can find more information at house.mn. Thanks, Sandy, for coming in. Have a great 2019 session. I'm sure we'll be talking about issues going on throughout.
Thank you, Heidi. I'm really looking forward to it.